I see by the clock up there that it's 12 after. Let's take our Bibles and let's turn to Matthew chapter 5. I like what Brother Fred said. One of these days we'll get to preach and nobody will hit our sermon. Well, I've had mortar shells blasting all around what I'm going to preach on today. From what Brother Hobbs preached all the way up to what Brother Fred had to preach on. I mean, every one of those mortar shells were blowing holes in what was already been said, but that's fine. You see, I believe that when we look at God's Word, there are a lot of things that we need to pray about and study and take a look at. And there is a very vital situation in that we all are going to die. We had a man in our church that his grandfather of 87 years finally passed away. And we were thinking, you know, 87 years, that's a long time. That's a long time. But when you think about it, he's dead. Let's think about 900 years. That's a long time. Look in the Old Testament. And the number of days that were upon man in the Old Testament, especially in the book of Genesis. 900 years. Long time. But they're dead. And so in essence, we are all going to face death. Every one of us. We can't cheat it. You can't beat it. Eventually, we are all going to die. We don't like to think of it. Many times we look at ourselves and wonder, who in the world is that old person that's standing in the mirror? There's a young person that exists within. And we realize that death is just around the corner for every one of us. Well, in Matthew chapter 5, I was glad to see this. Everybody's been reading, or some of you have been reading Matthew chapter 5, but you missed one verse, and I'm so glad. Verse 3 begins, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake." Now that's where we normally at. We stop. But the rest of that blessing is in verse 12. I want you to look at that. You'll notice verse 11, every one of the blessings of the Beatitudes are, if this is what happens, then this is the expectation. For every action, there's a reaction that occurs. Now look at verse 12. "Rejoice!" Isn't that something? "Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." There's what we're looking at today. The blessings even in death. Let us pray. Father, as we come before you, it is our prayer that you will again, Father, give us that which is necessary. Oh, Father, we all know that death may be but around the corner for us. We know that babies die. We know that the elderly die, and all in between, Father, have faced death or will face death in this life. And Lord, we need to understand that even in death, we as your saints, we who have been saved by your grace, have a marvelous opportunity to understand how that we might know the blessings that are in Christ Jesus and how that we might also be blessings to others. So, Lord, the blessedness of Scripture shows that we indeed have much to look forward to. Our reward is great. Blessed, Father, is your name. And let us not fail to remember why you have called us to be a blessing upon this earth. Father, to deliver the seed. Father, to reap what you have sown. And Father, to gather as you would see fit. So, Lord, I pray now that we might be encouraged by the Word. Thank you for those that are here today, Father. I pray that these that are here would again receive that which is necessary from the Word of God. We thank you, Father, for your blessings. Bless this church and continue to guide, for it's in Christ we pray. And amen. As I was turning over the ideas and as I heard what the sermon line was going to be, I could not bypass three thoughts. There are three points that I would like to bring out to you, and that is blessing and death, part one, in life, in death's wake, and in the very end. As we looked at this particular blessing, verse 11 said, "Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake." You see, folks, we need to understand that we have been put upon this earth to die. And yet we, as saints, many times we look at death too sorrowfully. Sometimes we look at death and we are, yes, we're going to be afraid of death. We can't cheat that fear. There is an adventure that goes beyond this life, and still we've got to go through a door. We have to pass from this life into the next, and that's a little scary. Anyone here who says they're not scared about it, well, you're probably more brave than I am. I face death. Every day that I live, I know that God could call me home. It is how I live upon this earth. And by the way, here's the thing I want you to understand. When God is finished with you, saint, upon this earth, then He is ready for you to come home. I don't care. An airplane engine can fall off out of the sky, a tire, and land right smack dab on you. I've known people say, "I like you in airplanes, they're scary." Well, God could have you die by airplane, it can land on you. You are not going to cheat death. God is going to have you pass from this life as He sees fit, not as you see fit. Amen. If He designs that you should have a long death by cancer, then there may be a great blessing that can occur out of that. If God should see that you would leave this life quickly, or that your testimony would be the end of your life, or that you might die by persecution. And I really believe that as we see the day approaching, that could very well happen. You see, we are not going to face the tribulation of Revelation. We will face, I believe, persecution. And is it not on the increase? As one of our brothers, I think as Brother Hobbs pointed it out, there is no longer respect for the man of God. It used to be that you men who are older than I am, I tell you what, Brother Pyle was my pastor. And when Brother Willard Pyle walked in, we revered that man. When he walked into the area, that tall, gangly man was a man that we revered. And the reason was, he's a pastor. We didn't call him Willard. We didn't call him Brother Willard. We didn't call him Pyle. We called him Pastor, Brother Pyle, but we were always very reverent. You never heard a dirty joke told to the pastor. The reason is, he was the man of God. So as the day approaches, we are seeing that respect go by the wayside. Isn't it true? I'm in school and I teach children. And I had a young man the other day call me Prater. And I looked at him, I said, "You will not do that again." I said, "My friends call me Mike, you will call me Mister." Boy, he cowered. Because I'm going to tell you what, men, we have a right to be called brother. We have a right to the office that we hold, and we better demand the respect of it, even unto death. And leave an example for our children and our children's children as what should be the proper title to God's man. Because you see, when we pass on from this life, they will carry what's left. Think about it. Well, that's by note, commercial time. Let's go back to the subject. Blessings even in death. Number one, to live. In the book of Philippians, if you will, let's go to Philippians chapter 1. And I'd like for us to take a look in this particular passage at these thoughts. Philippians chapter 1. Again, this has already been read by one of our dear brothers, but I'd like to expound a little bit more upon it by God's grace. Verse 20. Philippians 1:20. According to my earnest expectation. Look at this. Man, you talk about a powerful verse. According to my earnest expectation and my hope. This is what we're living for, folks. What do you expect? What do you hope? Why are you here? Why are you saved? For this reason, that in nothing I will be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. Listen, folks, you are here for one glorious reason. Our Lord saved us by His marvelous grace. Now, if you are saved here today, you have that blessedness that is in you. You have something welling up within you, a spring of life. And that's what we're here to live for. I live because Christ lives. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. If we could just suck the marrow out of that particular verse. It is so powerful because Christ lives in me. And that's why we are here. Look now at verse 21, which has also been read. It says, For to me to live is Christ. Look at that. As long as you live,
You are the sower of the seed. You are the example of the seed. If you are broadcasting the seed, you are living for Christ. If you're sitting on your square inches, you're not. For me to live, I am to live for Christ. That's why He saved us. Jesus Christ made us to be the servants of the above. The Holy Jesus Christ. To the Father above, we are to bring all glory and honor. That's why we live. But look at this. To die is gain. It's dark in here. It's very dark. Even in the brightness of our sunshine, darkness seems to loom, does it not? When we hear of our loved ones who have faced the points of death. This year when we heard of Sister Hobbs and what she had to go through, our heart ached. We prayed for her. I know the family went through difficulties. Let me give you great cheer. She is going to die. Not at this moment. But when she does, it's great gain. She has lived for Christ. Brother Hobbs is going to die. Someday, Brother Harry is going to pass away. I'll meet you there. Brother Bob and all these others, you will pass away. So will my prayer. And on the point of my death, I have just continued to live. But think about that. At the point of my death, I have now gained that great reward. And you see, that's what we really got to get in this point. This is what we've got to get in our mind. This is what we've got to instill in our children. You're going to die. But because Christ is yours, because you are saved, look, don't look at your point of death, whether it's by old age or it's by its persecution or whatever it may be. Don't look at that and say, oh, woe is me. No, oh, glory to God. You see, that is the example. That is the very testimony that we must hold to. We are to live for Christ. We are to die knowing that He is ever with us. Hold your place here, if you will. And let's turn back to John chapter 15. Again, this one was shot down. This is one of those verses that flew overhead. It's had two shots. Man, bang, it came down like a duck. That's all right. We'll use it again. In John chapter 15, look at verse 5. I am the vine. This is the one thing that helps us understand about our life in Christ. I love this particular verse. We could use many more. I am the vine, ye are the branches. Our Lord is speaking this. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. There's life. Verse 7. If you abide in me, you know, folks, we don't like the word if. We think many times that I'm saved, therefore I am abiding as I should in Christ. Not so. You may be saved, but do you reflect Christianity? There are many people that someday I believe the Lord's going to look and go in, come here, slothful, get in there. You know, my dad, when he's upset at us and we didn't obey, I've been kicked in the door before. You don't know you ever, but anyone else been that way? I don't watch it now. And a lot of times, the reason that occurred is because I was not the way I should have been. I wasn't obedient. I didn't do what I was supposed to. I deserved it. But when the reward is there, it is, come son. Come. It's good to see you. Enter to the rest. And you know, folks, for us to have this abiding, it's a continuance. It's a continuance. If we abide in Christ, look at the rest of this. And my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Listen, folks, the more we abide in Christ, the more the splendor of heaven appeals to us. Think about that. I was just sitting there, and as Brother Fred was finishing up the sermon, I was listening to what he said, and I went, my, someday no darkness. Someday the splendor of heaven. Someday, instead of seeing a 65-year-old man, an 85-year-old man, a 45-year-old man, we will see a sinless, pure man.
Not overweight?
Amen.
You said it, I didn't. We will all be perfect because Christ is perfect. Now let's look at this. Philippians, back to the book of Philippians chapter 1. And let's look at that verse 6. Now watch. This is what's so wonderful to me. Being confident of this very thing. Being confident. Being confident. Where's your confidence? Being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you. I love this. He that has begun it. Who began it? Not me. He began it. He that hath begun a good work in you will perform it. And perform it. And perform it. And perform it. And perform it. Until the day of Jesus Christ. Isn't that great? No, we can't lose. We are not on a losing end. We don't have to worry about what death is going to be like. Oh yes, death can be very scary. John the Baptist was scared of death. Lord, are you the one or we look for another? John faced death. But you know what the glory of it was? Jesus did not answer, I'm the one. He said, tell him what you see. The blind see. The lame walk. Tell him what you see. You know what's a glorious hope? We need to go to the world knowing that death may stare us in the face and tell him what we see. Tell him what we have beheld. Tell him about the glory of Jesus Christ. For you see, my folks, these are the things that we must indeed understand what God has given. All right, quickly now, second point. In the wake of death, we may indeed face death upon this life, that we cannot cheat it. But listen to this. The saints that are upon this earth, we have a responsibility knowing that as God has given us blessing, so must we carry that blessing on. It encourages me to see this young man called to the ministry. He's going to make mistakes. It's our responsibility not just to pick on him and punch him in the side and everything else, but to nurture him, to lead him. And as we take a look, as God still enables, listen, man, I've wondered many times why we are seeing fewer and fewer called preachers coming into this world. I believe it's because of judgment upon this earth. And especially here in the United States. Every time you follow Scripture, watch this. As the nation turned its back upon God, what happened to the preachers?
They died off.
And judgment was set upon it. Listen, folks, we are the glue right now that is literally, I believe, the adhesiveness of protection of the United States. And God is letting us die off. Have you noticed that? It's time we get busy. It's time we get busy. I don't think God's done with the United States yet. But think about the persecution that He may face. Think about the persecution that we may have to lend unto this our young brother. And so while he is upon this earth, there is a blessing that we can pass down even on death's portal. Now watch this. Turn back, if you will, to the book of Genesis. I love this example. I hope that I can expound it the way I'd like to. In Genesis chapter 48, look at this, if you will, just for a moment. In Genesis 48, notice verse 15 and 16. All right, I'll give you time there to get there just for a moment. Now watch. And he blessed Joseph. Who is this that's giving the blessing? Here is old Jacob. His name's been changed to Israel. Jacob is now upon his deathbed. They're in the land of Egypt. Joseph, his son, he thought was dead. And God has allowed him to see Joseph one more time. And yet, here's a great surprise. Joseph has two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh. And as he looks at these two sons, he looks at him, and while he is lifting himself upon the bed, he is going to give a blessing unto these two children. Now look at this. In verse 15, and he blessed Joseph and said, God before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac did walk, the God which fed me all the day long, all my life long unto this day. Now look at this. And the angel which redeemed me from all evils blessed the lads. Now get this for a moment. We'll finish those verses up in just a moment. But the day is going to come when I am going to look at my children. I am going to face probably death's portals unless the Lord comes for me immediately. And as I face death, one of the great testimonies I can leave behind is
Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless you, my son. Bless you, my son. Bless you, my son. Bless you, my son. And as I bring this upon him, say, don't cry. Don't weep. I'm going to pass from this life. It is destined that I pass. It is appointed. And the man wants to die. We can't cheat the appointment. You're not going to cheat it. We may think we can cheat it, but you're not going to do it. And yet upon this life, as I pass forward, the great blessing can also be passed along. God has enabled me to be a preacher by His grace, not by mine. And the blessings of those preachers that went before me, those men who had an impact in my life. Some men were Arminian. I was saved. Could I be saved under an Arminian preacher? No way. But you know, I look at men like Brother Hobbs, Brother Pyle, and I'm thinking, oh Lord, someday the final mantle will be passed on me. You've got to carry the mantle now, Elisha. The mantle's on you, Elisha. Now carry it. And as I bear that mantle, I want the blessing. Oh Lord, bless me. Bless me. That I may be found faithful. So that when the next generation comes behind me and the mantle falls upon his shoulders, blessing, Lord. Watch over him, Lord. Give him courage, Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Should be the very indication. We are not going to cheat death. But how we pass from this life is the great statute of that blessing. Look at this. And the rest of that verse that we just read, verse 16. On, and let my name be named on them. Isn't that amazing? Abraham passed it to Isaac. Isaac to Jacob. And Jacob places his hand upon Ephraim and Manasseh. Look what he says. Let my name be passed on them. You know, it's interesting. The Lord blessed that promise. Because Joseph wasn't numbered amongst the 12 tribes. Ephraim and Manasseh were. Isn't that amazing? God's providence was that great. Let my name be passed upon them. Wouldn't it be wonderful? Lord, give them a great desire to preach. Let them be the sons of thunder. Let them proclaim the word of God. Give a blessing. You know, man, I think sometimes we take the ordination too lightly. We don't ordain novices, but you know, I think sometimes we ought to pray, Lord, make him a powerful speaker. Give him courage. Give him what he needs. Make him a voice of thunder. Lord, let this pass upon him. Fathers, in the name of my fathers, Abraham and Isaac, and let them grow into the multitude in the midst of the earth. You know, folks, the Lord had blessed Abraham. And as Abraham blessed the children, watch verse 20, and he blessed them that day, saying, in thee shall Israel bless, saying, God, make thee as Ephraim and Manasseh. And he set Ephraim before Manasseh. You know, folks, we need to also understand this, because there is a great design in that particular thought. Watch this. Turn over, if you will, to Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2. What epitaph do you want put on your tombstone? You know, there's a commercial that goes out, what do you want on your tombstone? I'll have pepperoni. You know, that's the commercial we see all the time, and it's kind of cute. But you know, someday there's going to be an epitaph put upon our tombstone. What will it say? He loved others! What will be the epitaph? Look at verse 13 of this marvelous epitaph by Antipas. In verse 13, I know thy works. And where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is, and thou holdest fast my name and hast not denied my faith, even in those days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you where Satan dwelleth. What a tremendous testimony. Look, it's missing in the Word of God. What else do you know about Antipas? What else do you know about that godly man? Not a thing. You don't know anything else about Antipas, but you do know that he was a faithful man. He loved the Lord and he was faithful even unto martyrdom. You don't think that's not a blessing? Look at faithful Antipas go. Look at faithful Polycarp walk. Watch these men as they go towards that final destiny. Look at William Tyndale as he's tied to the stake and the flames begin to roar around him. Those men would not deny the faith that's in Christ Jesus. And they said, "Oh, don't you worry. I can endure all things through Christ that strengthens me. Bring on the flames. Bring on the sword. Bring whatever it may take. I die in Christ." What a testimony. Do you realize that those men, even in death, God blessed that their testimony saw others saved even while the stakes with those bodies tied to it were flaming. Souls were saved. What a thought. What a thought. There is a blessing to the very end. In Matthew chapter 5, where we began, we read this thought again, and I'd like for you to see that. Blessing even to the end. Verse 12 said, "Rejoice. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." Rejoice. "And be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." When the Lord gave these Beatitudes, they were given to us. Listen, they were given to us. I don't care how many people were there that heard it. They were given to us. Who is supposed to be meek? Who's supposed to be lowly? Who's supposed to be the ones that are long-suffering and patient? Not the earth. The saints. And when we take a look at what the Lord has given, there is supposed to be a joy that is there. You know, I think sometimes preachers, we ought to write our own sermons and let somebody else preach it before we die. It'd be a great idea, wouldn't it? And here's the course of the service. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again. Wouldn't that be a great funeral song? We like something a little bit more morbid when we die. Don't we? So that we can enjoy sorrow. There's nothing wrong with sorrow. But you know what? I think sometimes we need to understand the great blessing that's going to be in death. For you see, are you saved? Then death is nothing to us, because we will go to be with the Father, and there we will enjoy each other's presence for all eternity. We'll be able to stand each other. We will not get bored with sermons. We will not wonder if Kentucky's going to win tonight.
I don't know why he picked it on a Final Four weekend. That was his choice, not mine, okay? But you know, we won't have to worry about what this life holds. Oh, yeah, that's right. Some of you are from North Carolina, that other team. Anybody here from Minnesota? I saw you guys are North Carolina State fans. That says it all as well. But you know, folks, when we take a look at what the Lord has given, there is going to be a blessing in that death. Look at Matthew chapter 25, shall we? Matthew 25. Verse 21. His Lord said unto him, "Well done, thou good and faithful." Stop. "Well done, thou good and faithful." Stop. "Well done, thou good and faithful." You know, folks, someday we're going to stand before the Lord, and that's what I want to hear Him say to me. I don't want to hear my Lord embarrass me. I don't want to hear my Lord as being ashamed of me. "Well done, Mike. Come, Mike. Your job is done. Come, my child. Thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. What little I gave you, you did well. Watch. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of thy Lord.
Now watch this.
Where did the joy come from?
Hebrews chapter 12.
Come on, quick.
Hebrews chapter 12. You don't think that there's joy in death? Watch this. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy, get it now,
it is,
who for the joy, what joy? Who for the joy that was set before Him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Look, I'm not going to go, not the throne. No! What did He say? God is the Jerusalem, don't weep for me. When He laid down upon the cross, now I'm in. I'm looking forward to this. Who for the joy? You know what, folks? When we grasp Christ in our mind, we'll understand that joy. He did it all for me. And someday we will see the glorious Savior and we will grasp that joy. Can you imagine that? The earth has no idea the joy that we can have in Christ Jesus. And because of that joy, look, why was He so joyful in this? John chapter 14. Another one of those passages that got shot two or three times. Look at this. Why was He joyful? Listen, folks, do you know why the Lord came to this earth? He wanted to be with His people. He died for us. He taught us. Someday we will understand that. But look, Jesus came for one reason. To redeem us that we would be with Him. Now think about that. We are redeemed in Him. Now look, John chapter 14. We know this passage so very well. Verse 1 says this. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. Now notice what He says. I go to prepare a place for you. I go to prepare for your coming. You know what? My wife had to be gone for a while. Her dad had to have bypass surgery. Had 6 bypasses. She had to fly to Hawaii and suffer in Hawaii while her dad had surgery. That's my kind of suffering. No, her dad really had a bad surgery. 6 bypasses, nothing to laugh about. But you know, when she came back home, I wanted her with me. I wanted her to be home with me. And I tried to clean the house. Men don't know how to do that. I tried to clean the house. I tried to have everything in order. But I wanted it because I wanted her near with me. She's my wife. That's nothing to what Christ has done. I prepare a place for you. Why? I want you with me. I purchased you. You're mine. My bride will be with me. My bride. You see, our Lord did not save us for piddly reasons. There was purpose. There was institution. And so in death, we get to see the blessings that Christ awaits with us. What reward could we possibly purchase for ourselves in heaven? Nothing. Everything that I do is tainted. Everything I do is filthy. But you know what? Someday, the Lord is going to say, here's reward. Lord, what reward? What did I deserve? It's not that you deserved it. I love you so much, I give it to you. I give it to you. I give it to you. Listen, preachers, here's something else we may also think about. We have been placed over God's heritage. Someday we will say, Lord, behold the jewels which you kept to my care. The talents that you left in my hand. You gave me 5. I give you these other 5. Whew. That's going to be something, isn't it? We didn't do anything. Welcome, my son. You're going to be a ruler now. You're going to be a priest. Do I understand it all? No way. Do you? Uh-uh. You may think you will. We'll wait till we get to heaven to see the full glory of it. Amen. Look at the rest of this passage. Verse 3 says, and I go to prepare a place for you, and I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, ye know. And the way, you know. Finally, in 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. Like I said, everybody hit my sermon quite well. But it was worth it. Notice verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Listen, folks, we kind of make a joke of those 39 people that died in this tragic situation.
Let me tell you something. There are a lot of people out there looking for an answer. We have it. We have it. They are playing with a Bible they know nothing about. They are playing with ideas they have no concept of what the Scripture says. They are duping people, and we're not doing our job. We know that as the day approaches that more of this is going to occur. Don't worry, folks. There's going to be more duped into this kind of bedevilment. But listen, they don't know the God we have. And pretty soon, they may start classifying us as cults. Because we are looking for the return. You know, I got to thinking about this. Can I have a 30-second commercial? Thanks. Anyway. You know, I got to thinking about this. We've been looking for the rapture. This devil be gone that has just left this earth. You know what he was making fun of? The rapture. And everything that is played so that shots, that Satan may take shots at the belief of God's people. Don't take this thing lightly. Many people are going to say, how do we know that they were wrong? Mark my word. Why did they, you know, maybe they were right. Well, I'm going to let them know, folks, when I leave, I'm not leaving anything behind. Except maybe my clothes, my debts. My cars, both of them that are broke down. I'm not leaving anything behind worth anything. You won't find my body. You won't find my body. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purify himself, even as he is pure.
Folks, the day is going to come when we will be like him. You know what is the great blessing? When I die, I hope to be a reflection to those that I leave, that I go to be with him. Weep not for me. Pray till the Lord returns. Thank you, brother. Amen.